Wednesday afternoon, Lady Shear and Shari Yichud Hamaisa, Yud Iyar, Shari Yichud Hamaisa. I'm giving a shear now. Can I call you back at 1? Bye. Okay, Sefer Chavos Al Vavos, Shari Yichud Hamaisa, Perek Hey, and we're learning about the Yetzer Hara. Very, very long Perek. We didn't start the Perek yet. Very long Perek. We didn't start the Perek yet. And it occurred to me that his exposing how the Yetzer Hara works is really belongs very much in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. I was thinking about this because if you want to strip away all the nonsense, so to speak, and get right to the heart of the matter, your life really boils down to you do things for yourself. There's going to be Yichud HaMaisa no matter what. The shaila is, who's the Yichud going to be directed at? It's going to be directed at you, or it's going to be directed at Hashem. And it's a very wrenching realization. You know, whether we grew up from, or we became from later, it's like, you do mitzvahs, and you listen to Hashem, and you get Olam Haba. And it's really very self-centered, not necessarily the bad word self-centered, but the word in English, we're talking the English language, it's very self-centered. It is. And you do for the tzibur, but like you do for the tzibur, and your potential, and your kochos, and your energies. And it really is, and now the bad word, self-centered. And it's very, Yichud HaMaisa says, no, it's nothing, because it's all, you have to do it for Hashem, and that is transformative totally. But at the bottom line, it's either going to be Yichud HaMaisa for Hashem's sake, or it's going to be Yichud HaMaisa for your sake. And once, the reason he makes this into such a basic principle, it's not some very high level madrega of lishma, because once you're doing it for your own sake, then you fall prey to the Yetzer Hara. Because then it becomes my success, and maybe we all know cases of people, maybe if we would admit it even of ourselves, that we're involved in doing a mitzvah and we step on other people while doing that mitzvah. Maybe we get angry at them if they're not doing it the way we want them to do it, or we think they're being lazy, or we think they're not, you know, so we get cross with them, and maybe you get into a machlokes, or maybe you'll talk lashon hara, or you'll embarrass them, and it's all in a good cause, because I'm doing for Hashem, like you know. I remember once I sat in a Din Torah in Muncie, and it was a difficult thing to explain. It was a yeshiva, I won't identify it. It was a yeshiva for Kiryas Rechokim. But in the early days, when it was really groundbreaking, it was a groundbreaking yeshiva for a certain segment of the population, and for Russians. And it was a groundbreaking institution. And the people were constantly in chovos and, you know. And they owed the bus driver money for a year and a half. And they pushed him off. And he finally had no choice. He took him to a Din Torah. And, you know, and the guy is sitting there and he's telling about his moysad and how chashuv it is. And it was chashuv. And how this, and there was a disconnect. I'm trying to explain to him, we were trying to explain to him, like, you hire someone, you have to pay him. You can't, you know, you want to be moser nefesh, that's fantastic. No, it's not a joke. You want to be Moser Nefesh, and you don't take a salary, that's great. Or you want to tell the guy beforehand that he might not get a salary and he can take it off of Meiser money. But the guy, this is Parnosa, right? He drives a bus, very low on the totem pole of Kiryat Rehoboth. He drives a bus. You owe him money. Like, you can't just say, well, I'm doing great things and I'm being Moser Nefesh. And this is really, it's if you don't have money and a question of priorities. So there's halachas that govern how you pay off your creditors. How you pay off your creditors. There's dinim, but that wasn't the issue. It was like he couldn't, if he's being Moser Nefesh, so everybody has to be Moser Nefesh. He's not doing this for himself, he's doing this for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, but the bus driver, he has to be paid. You hired him. You can't. Okay, it stuck in my mind because it was a very it was a moment, a telling moment. You see, I remember. I remember anything that happened more than 1 week ago, and like this, I remember. So it must have made a good impression, a very strong impression. The realization, that's also said, I can't go through the day doing for Hashem. But yeah, it's just keep it in the back of your mind. It's like the ultimate goal, right? Just like, I don't know, we have other things that you keep your eye on the eight ball, it's called. You keep your eye on the goal. Or we should, let's say when we raise our kids. So, okay, we have to deal with, he's not going to sleep, and he didn't do his homework, and he refuses to take a bath, and he didn't eat his peas, or whatever they serve now, broccoli, I don't know. And he's starting up with his sister, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I live in a normal household. You see, but also I'm remembering my childhood. So you react a certain way, but Matovim Anom, how great would it be if we would keep the larger goal in mind, is that I want to raise an emotionally healthy, happy Yirei Hashem, Oved Hashem. And that really changes, you don't viscerally react if you keep that in mind. Or at least you try to learn how to react to certain things. So, you don't have to keep the goal in mind every second, but if that's the goal, so then your life sort of falls into place. Maybe it takes a lot of practice, and maybe the first year you have to be consciously conscious of it, or else you just slip back. My point is that Yichud HaMaisa, and talking about the Yetzer Hara, and talking about Sunan Apikoros and an atheist, and then he'll run the whole gamut, and then he says it's a scratching the surface. The Yetzer Hara has like 400 other game plans to get you. It's very close to Yichud HaMaisa. You're going to have Yichud HaMaisa. If we don't train ourselves, as he did in the first few prokim, he talked about what to think about and how to realize it, and that's what he talked about in the first four prokim and in the Akdama. You're going to end up having Yichud HaMaisa, you can be sure, because everyone has Yichud HaMaisa, except most people's Yichud HaMaisa, virtually all people's Yichud HaMaisa is to themselves, and their success, and their happiness, and their nachas, and their, all these things. That's Yichud HaMaisa. Everything, I think it's safe to say that everything we do has as its... If you want an example how you're supposed to have Yichud HaMaisa, so here's a good example. Right now, everything we do is for ourselves. Everything we do. And we're going shopping, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. And you say, and if someone would ask you, like, why, and the bottom line is that I don't consciously think about it, but I'm doing it because I want to feel fulfilled, I want to feel successful, I want to fill my potential, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. And so on and so forth, and we really do live like that. It's just this is the difference between Avodah Zarah and Hashem. I know, Joe. What's the difference between a container of milk and an elephant? Yeah, Joe, I said it 10 times. So you're supposed to say, I don't know. And I say, well, I'm not going to send you to the store for a container of milk. So you say, what's the difference between Hashem and Avodah Zarah? And you go, Rabbi Malinowitz, are you feeling okay? But it's really a very good question, because the difference is much more than it's a difference in outlook of life. It's not just a question of which horse do you bet on. And if you're Jewish, you're betting on the right horse. And if you're not Jewish, so you're not betting on the right horse, which is good. It's good to bet on the right horse if that's all you're going to do is bet. So it's better to bet on the right horse than bet on the wrong horse. But it's much, much more than that. It's much deeper than that. The old Avodah Zarah the Avodah Zarahs were ways to get what they wanted. So there's a god of agriculture and a god of love and a god of whatever. And it was all ways of getting what they wanted. And maybe if I give him a carbon, so to speak, so he'll be nice to me and I'll find favor in his eyes and he'll make it rain, he'll make me successful. And they have, and Hashem is a whole different story. It's a whole different story. It's not that way at all. It's so hard. It's very, very hard. And I said Shabbos, what makes it even harder is because Shabbos I said you can't lose yourself to the klal, I guess, but you are supposed to lose yourself to Hashem. I guess that, yeah, so I guess it wasn't, what I talked about Shabbos was really not relevant to what I'm talking about now. Shabbos, I talked about the individual vis-a-vis the klal, that as much as the dynamic between Hashem is to klal Yisrael, not just to the individual, but it's like to an orchestra, and each person can't lose their individuality. And I said over from Shimon Shkab and the Shari Yosha and the Hagdama, he proves it, etc., etc. But now I'm talking about really a different mindset. I'm talking about the mindset that it's not about us, it's about Hashem. And there's no getting around that, and that's what Shari Yichud Maisa teaches us. It's like that. The difference between Hashem and Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah is always self-serving. That's what they did. These were the ways in which they harnessed, and you know, if harness nature or harness science. It doesn't have to be the funny-looking statue with the big belly, you know, that's sitting in the living room. It could be science or nature or anything in the world. And we harness it to serve ourselves. We harness it to get what we want. We harness it to have comfortable lives, fulfilling lives. Yiddishkeit is a whole different mindset. Hashem is a whole different mindset. Letov lach, it's for our good, and Hashem never makes demands that we can't meet, and He doesn't need anything. So, like, it's almost an exercise in futility, because He doesn't even need anything. So I'm supposed to do it for His sake, but He doesn't even need it. The answer is yes, and everything, I'm supposed to do His will. And that's why the Chavis HaLov is such a great sefer to learn, besides the fact that that's all I know, so that's all I can teach, is that the Chavis HaLov is, you see, you have to be batel to Hashem, but Hashem doesn't need anything, so who am I trying to kid? So the answer is, He doesn't need, but he I only have to do His will. I don't have to give Him a cup of water. He doesn't need a cup of water. He doesn't need any karbonos. He doesn't need my tefillos. He doesn't need my challah. He doesn't need my mezuzah. He doesn't need anything. So it's just His will should be done. So all I have to do is His will. And that's the pshat. That's how you get out of that problem. And the Chlami doesn't need anything, but He wants His will to be done. And then the Chavis HaLov gives us Shar HaBechina, and he says, wow, all I have to do, it's a big all, but all I have to do is be cognizant of what Hashem has given to me and be thankful and have gratitude and have a Hakaras HaTov, and all he wants is that I should do His will. like, wow, he's not just do his will, and I'm going to get rewarded for doing his will. But the mindset is, I'm doing his will, and it's for his sake, and he wants. Why does he want us to do his will? Is because he's a mative. He's a mative. But the system is, we're doing his will. But within that system, we bond with Hashem, and we get eternal, we are kone eternity. That's how we're kone eternity, because we meld with him, we do his will, and our neshamos are elevated, and then we exist forever as part of Hashem. And I think I better stop here. All right, let's not go further than that. Okay, so we all have Yichud HaMaaseh. The only question is to whom? To Hashem or to ourselves? Getting back to the text in Perek Hey, where, I'm sorry, I am dealing with an emergency, so I'm going to answer the phone. If it's not that, I'll just hang up on them. Hello? Yeah, who is it? Hello? Yeah, is this an emergency? I'm in the middle of saying a shir. Well, what's the problem? Okay, call me back after 1:35. Okay. I was only nice to him because you were here. Listen. I'm going to keep answering the phone in the middle of dealing with a certain emergency. I apologize for that, but it can be helped. Okay, so now we're learning, and like every phrase here could be a Musa Shmuz for an hour. We're in the first few lines of Perek Hey, where he says, he's your biggest enemy in the world, etc. And then he goes through, he keeps on throwing phrases at you. Vato yoshein lo, who ere you are not aware of him, right? He gives you, he's very wily, and he gives you a space. If he's, you know, he's not going to tell you, you know, don't go to shul to listen to the shofar. Like, well, you know, he doesn't care. He has other things to get you. I mean, so you think he's sleeping, and you put down your guard, and meanwhile he, you know, you'll get angry at someone, or you'll do other things where he sneaks himself in. I said over the Chafetz Chaim story last week, right, with the Yetzer Hara. Did I? Okay, you're older than me, and you got up before me. Yeah. Thomas Ali Mimenu, let's move. Thomas Ali Mimenu, and you're not aware of him. You don't think of, maybe you think of him as the devil, you know, but he's not the devil with the horns and the red and the tail and the pitchfork. He's you. He's us. You know, he's us. And he says, this is a good thing to do, and you gotta do this. And V'enam Salam Imcha, he doesn't forget about you. Lo veish lecha bigdei hayedidus, he dresses himself up as your best friend, like a con artist. He's a con artist. I only mean you're good. Come invest with me. I promise you this and this much of a return on your money. It can't go wrong. And you think of all the things you'll be able to buy if you invest with me. And you say, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Madoff. And lovish l'cha, but that's what it is. Lovish l'cha big day yedidus. He's on your side. The adi havaloch, and he shows that he loves you. And benichnas bichlal ne'emonecha, and he becomes. You consult with him. you're consulting with the Yetzer Hara without realizing it, because he has wormed his way into your entourage of advisors. Va'anche asoscho sugulas ohavecho bedakos birmoso, with the subtlety of his wiliness. Rots el ritzonecha. So you think, rots el ritzonecha benira mirimizosov akritzosov. Like he indicates, mirimizosov akritzosov. Again, it's very poetic. I don't, it's very literary. I don't know, poetic. From his motions and from the way he carries himself, he winks, and so you think the guy's on your side, like you're doing something, and you're not sure if you should do it, then you have your friend on the other side of the room, and he gives you a wink, or he goes like this, like, yeah, keep going, like, you know, don't take that from them, you show them, right? And you think he's your friend, and he's giving you good advice, life advice, for whom, and he's doing, he you think it's your will, for whom, and really he's shooting arrows at you. That's how you have to think of it. When you hear good advice, but so how are you supposed to know? So the Chavis HaLovitz wrote this perek to alert us, and maybe a light bulb will go on in our heads, and we'll say, no. This is what's going on. At least he's alerting us. We could be conscious to it. It's not, again, on one hand, the Yetzer Hara has nothing to sell. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all illusions. It's nothing. If anybody has, right, the pleasure of an Avera lasts most of the time a few seconds, a few fleeting seconds. And that's Havei, so the Chazal, you know, Havei Mechashev Schar Avera Kneged Hafseda, Schar Mitzvah Kneged Hafseda, Hafseda Avera Kneged Schara, like you have to make a cheshbon and see what you're doing. But he'll alert you to recognize. So you think the person is going like this, you know, and meanwhile you're walking off a cliff. With his amamisim, that is his job, to create a distance between you and Hashem, a distance that can't be recovered, you know. And then, you know, you want to do tshuva, and he says, first of all, you know, because the best time to do tshuva is right after you do the chesed. That's when you feel the most guilty. But so he says, you know, let's sleep on this. We'll wait till tomorrow. It's not good to do tshuva now. He might even sound frum. If you do tshuva now, it'll just be an emotional reaction. Why don't we sleep and wake up in the morning and really do tshuva, a lasting tshuva, a good tshuva, a proper tshuva. And then the next morning you look back, it doesn't seem so bad anymore. Like, what'd you do already? What's the big deal? You lose the regret of the moment. All of these things are very... Yeah, maybe it sounds like you have to be a psychiatrist to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Maybe you do, as I said. Maybe you do. K'mo shomer ha'kosov b'mishen yono kach k'misalhei hayorezikim chitzim b'moves Ben Kane Ish Rima Esrayehu. Like, this is unfortunately a con artist. That's person A fools person B and makes him walk into a situation where he'll lose all of his money or he'll get hurt in other ways. The Omer Lo Masachik Ani. Just kidding. You know, you heard that? Just kidding. If you catch me, he says, just kidding, and I think you take me seriously, and or I meant you're good. Umin hachozak shebishluchav, his most powerful weapon. We all want to know this. Asher yore oscha, which he will shoot at you. V'ilochem oscha, he's using this imagery based on how he started off. The Yetzer Hara is your biggest enemy, and he's doing mulchama with you. So his most powerful weapon, asher yore oscha, which he will shoot at you. V'ilochem oscha bohem. The mitzvon in yoncha, in your innermost of hearts, innermost of secrets, innermost motivations, that he'll worm his way in. She yishtadel l'sapek alecha amitoscha. This is what the Chavis Halvavus says. Maybe we don't recognize it as such, but we should trust the Chavis Halvavus. He will make you, make you start to doubt things that you assumed. Things that you assumed are true, and maybe are the basis and the premise of the way you're living your life. I'll say, you know, it's not that extreme, it's not that much, it's not that heavy, it's not like that. You know, and he could say different things, and, you know, Hashem wants you to have pleasure, which is a very, which, right, and then, so, which can be understood in different ways by different people. But that's a very interesting idea that Chavis HaLava says. His most powerful weapon is to make you not so sure of yourself. Ulishabesh, and to be makalkel, to ruin, to change, to make you be mistaken, mashin is baralacho. What you thought you have clear already, you'll always have to, he'll want you to rethink the issue. Now again, the reason this is so difficult is because you should always check your premises, right? That's a good midah. But the Eitz Hara will try to get you to do it. I mean, the Chavis HaLava should be the most nervous about this, because he's the one that's insistent throughout the Sefer that we develop our emunah and our ideas of our relationship with Hashem through a rational, almost scientific thought process of proofs and understandings, and it's all rational. So if it's rational, so the Yetzer Hara is going to say, you don't want to rethink your premise, make sure it's true, which is not a bad thing to do. But we have Ikrei Emunah, we have things that, again, that we know what we live for, and that if we're lucky enough to know it's against the will of Hashem, so there's no other cheshbonus that could kasher it. You can't kasher it. So what the Chavis HaLava wants, right, we've said this many times, you need the bedrock of unshakability. Once you hit bedrock, the emunah, once you hit bedrock, Hashem exists, Hashem is real, I have to do the will of Hashem. Hashem wants me to do His will. Hashem is running the world, not just He created the world and gave it over to different powers, but Hashem is running every prat in the world. So that you have that as like a bedrock emunah, and then the Chavis HaLava wants you to develop the logic and to develop and understand the logic of it, the rationality of it. But you always have to maintain, you know, if push comes to shove, you say, you know, I don't have all the answers, and I don't claim to have all the answers, and I'm not smart enough, or I'm not deep enough, or I just don't know the answer to that. I'll ask someone. But the Torah tries to make you indeed mesupik. Maybe, you know, he'll start off with, oh, the Rashitis, that is no Ashgacha Pratis, only to very big tzaddikim, and he'll twist things you might have a half knowledge of to make it seem that way. And he tries to shake up things that you know as established truths. And to mix you up, to confuse you. He likes confusion, the machshavos kazovim, with inaccurate machshavos, you know, the tiny shkarim, and that's why it's also to read divrei minus. Minus means apikursus. It's also to read. So someone would say, well, according to the Chavis HaLava, maybe I should read it, because I should be making a choice and I should be thinking through the issue. You know, you're not reading from an objective source. You're reading from someone with an agenda. You're reading from someone who has already chosen a side. So you're not going to be hearing, it's not as if you'll be hearing unvarnished truth. And even if yes, the Torah doesn't want you to reinvent the wheel. The Torah doesn't want that we should make those major decisions. If we do, if we think it through and we reach a conclusion like Avraham Avinu, so it's a very big milestone, it's certainly a terrific thing. It's not looked down on, it's looked up on, and it's looked up to. But to go do it lechatchila bedavka, it says, you know, the Yetzer Hara is just looking. That's why you can't talk to Apikursim, and you can't read the Vreminos, because the Yetzer is looking up the opportunity to say, Taka, I wonder how come, I don't want to say what, or else I'll be guilty, how come Taka, the carbon 14 dating shows this, how come this, and how come that? and you're just looking for that soft spot, and you know, from there things can unravel rather quickly. Like how we
What about going out in the world and doing hero? Can't the same argument be made that you shouldn't go out, you shouldn't bring Judaism to the people, because then you're putting yourself into a place of danger, you're putting yourself in the secular world, an environment?
That, hopefully, and I'm not sure this is always done, the people that are sending people out to do Kiruv are convinced that the people they're sending out are well fortified. Do I sometimes think, please excuse me, I'm really sorry. Hello? Yeah, unless there's an emergency, I can't talk to you now unless there's an emergency for now as opposed to 1:30. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, bye. I indeed think that that's not always done, but I'm a very opinionated person, and here I'm not even sure I'm right, which is pretty unusual for me, but I'm not in that world, so I don't know what they fortify them with. I know there are people going out that are not Talmidei Chachamim, but there's a famous mashal from, I don't know, it's probably said over in the name of many gedolim, you know, I'll skip the whole mashal. The point is that when you're drinking water, so you want the water to be filtered and good and pure and uncontaminated. But when you're putting out a fire, you just take any water you could get. So that's the mashal that's said. But it is dangerous. It's dangerous for many reasons. It's dangerous for interaction between the sexes. It's dangerous for things you talk about and compromises that are made to accommodate. Well, they're not holding there yet, so you know, how much do you do and how much you don't do it? It's very, very dangerous. The answer to your question is yes, it's dangerous, and that's why before you go out, you should be certified. Someone has to look you over and say, I think you're safe. Maybe you're not as safe as you possibly could be, but we don't have that luxury nowadays of waiting. It's like a place that needs a doctor, so they can't wait till they get the doctor that Echveis finished post med school. But if they take someone too early, he's going to butcher you, right? The first time he treats you, he's going to prescribe the wrong medicine, and then who knows what. Mm-hmm. So I think I answered your question.
You know, I think the Gates could easily say, it's too dangerous, we can't go out, we can't save others.
So the answer, that's also true, and the answer is to have a certifying agency, just like you have to go to school and someone has to give you a medical license and you have to pass a test and they have to be convinced that you know what you're doing. So here also, that's the way it should work. The problem is there is no licensing and anybody can hang a shingle outside their door saying yeshiva, any yeshiva or kiruv yeshivas, yeah, and we will train you to go out. Okay, that's the problem we have, you know, that's part of the golus, and not having a Sanhedrin, and not having a melech, and not having a central authority, that we're all winging it and hoping for the best. But it's not an insurmountable problem. The system can handle such a problem. You get people who are trained, tried and true, and have a track record, and you say, you know, you could certify this person, and you can give them a test, you know, what do you do? I don't know. I've never done it. Not really at all. I've never been out in the boondocks, as they say. I don't know. What do you do the first time a woman sticks out a hand to you and says hello? You know, what do you do if they want to come to Shabbos and they're going to come by car? And what do you do if, you know, there's like hundreds of scenarios. So there should be such a test. I'm sure there is in many institutions. Do they go out too early? I don't see. You have the story with the water. So, Kitza, I answered your question. Okay. So, but this is a very interesting, powerful statement. His biggest weapon is to make you not sure of yourself, that you're not confident in what you're doing. He's not talking about in your job now. He's talking about in your lifestyle, right? Maybe it's frumkeit, maybe it's eating only Mahadran foods. Maybe it's a, you know, well, are you so sure that you have to, you know, and you're not equipped to answer him. And that's why, not you, anybody, you're not equipped, most people are not equipped to answer him and don't know. Like Taka, maybe I don't have to do this. Maybe I'm just doing this out of ignorance. Maybe I don't have to do it at all. So you have to ask, that's why you have to have a relationship with a Rav, and you have to ask a Shaila. Because his inroad will be, remember, his most powerful weapon will be to make you question what you're doing, as the Chavis HaLovas says. And this is coming from a man, from the Chavis HaLovas, who wants us to be rational and to understand what we're doing, but the Yetzirah will take certain levels of clarity that we've reached already, he says, and will try to make us shaky in them. Ulashabish mashin is barlachola arbe visnafshacha, to make you confused. The machshavas kazov matainashkarim, which is why it's very dangerous to read these books or these blogs or these things and say, Taka, how come there's no record? I'll say something pretty safe. How come there's no record of Matan Torah? Taka, like, shouldn't the bushes have been trampled on? And there's no signs of bushes being trampled. I don't know. Oh, this stuff is out there. This stuff is out there. And all you need is one worm of thought. Say, Taka. All you have to raise is one eyebrow. You don't even have to raise two eyebrows. I don't know if I could raise one eyebrow, but some people can. And then you can't shake it from your mind. You ever have that experience? You suspect someone of messing you up, maybe a good friend, and you're not so sure of their friendship anymore. Maybe they don't have your best interests at heart, and you can't shake that thought. And you go through the whole day, and all of a sudden you start to look at them with a different eye, and you start to suspect them, and you can't shake it. Yatvid osko behemi toalo sacha, and he has your interests at heart, and he doesn't let you leave the thought. V'yusapik alecha mashin esbor alecha me'emunoscha v'dosecha. V'imtia nizar mimenu, if you counterattack, the Tasman lo shluche sichlecha, and you use your armaments of your seichel leilochem also bohem, v'tesalei chitzecha me'olav, you chase him away, chitzov me'olecha, I'm sorry, tinotzel v'timolik mimenu be'ezos Hashem yisborach. It's doable. Nothing we're going to learn in this perek should be that depressing. If it's depressing and you say you can't win, I give up, but now we know that's the Yetzer Hara saying that you give up. We are promised in Gemara Kiddushin that Hashem will help us, even if it seems impossible. Hashem will help us. We have to try. We have to do our best, and that's what he's saying here. If you fight him, you will win. But v'imtashlich in yonecha elo v'timoshech acharetzono. But if you give in, if you give him a foot in the door and you give in a little, of course you can always do tshuva. It doesn't mean if you make one misstep in your life, you should write the rest of your life off, chas v'shalom. But he's talking, right, but you do have to do tshuva. He's showing how dangerous it is. Once you follow him, lo yirach mimcha, he is not going to be satisfied with, I don't know, talking from a man's perspective. So, you know, daven with a minyan today, mincha. Ferlich, it doesn't really say you mechuyev to daven with a minyan. I know all this stuff. I used to tell it to my mashgiach in high school. It doesn't really say you have to daven with a minyan. It says it's good to daven with a minyan. And I'm so tired and I won't be able to learn the rest of the day, and et cetera, et cetera. And once you have that, then your next step is to Mishachris, and the next step, and it goes on. Lo yirach mimcha, you have to take the Chavis HaLovas seriously. He won't leave you alone ad sheyavotcha, until he destroys you and makes you lost. B'shnei ha'olamim, in olam hazeh and olam haba. He's not your friend. He's not your friend. V'yishereshcha mishnei ha-ma'onim, he will uproot you from the two olamos. Ma'onim is a fancy word for olamos. Kemosha omar, b'se'if, m'se'ifav, just one trick he has up his sleeve, one paragraph in his battle plan book, V'yeshechad mechayolav, ki rabim chalolim hipila, it's talking to a man, I think the marshal is an isha ra'a, ki rabim chalolim hipila v'atsumim kol harugeha, darche she'ol beisa, yordas ol chadrei mavis. We see it all the time, unfortunately, if we listen to the news or read papers, we see how people fall in with that Yetzer Hara of Taiva, and they just wreck their lives. And like an outsider looks and says, like, and you look back in retrospect, like taka. Like, but when you're in it, it's very hard to break free of him, and he doesn't let go, and he makes you think. This is a different trick, making you think you're missing out on something. That's like. I think that's the biggest Yetzer Hara. You're missing out on something. I mean, even in Divrei Rishus, I like a lot of my married children live around me. So, a lot of them. So, sometimes they just all of a sudden converge. And they're all there. And like, because they think something's happening and they don't want to miss out. They don't think I'm giving out money, then they wouldn't leave. But no, it's like this fear of missing out. And a lot of life's, not a lot, virtually all of life's pleasures, it's the fear of losing out. But the pleasure itself, that's why the Gemara says, Hirhurei Aveira, Kashim Me Aveira. And that has a lot of, worse, it has a lot of interpretations. One of the interpretations is that in your mind, it's like you're really into it, and it's going to give you so much, and then the aver itself is like it's gone. Like, it's cartoon with Snoopy and Charlie Brown. So he was looking forward to something, to going. I don't want to show I'm too much of a bookie. It's not appropriate, but I could tell you chapter and verse exactly what the deal was. But there was something that went on for a few, Schultz stretched it out over a couple of weeks, and then he comes back from where he was, and they say, no, and he said, and I think every Baal Musa should learn this sentence by heart, he says, the anticipation far exceeded the actual event. That's a great, great line. And that's how it is with most of the pleasures in life. The anticipation far, he said the anticipation exceeded. Well, I'll say the anticipation far outweighs the actual event. And that's what the Yetzer Hara does. He builds up, how can you miss out on that? And I'm saying this, I went a little off track of what he's saying, because he really veered off. He was saying the Yetzer Hara makes you not sure about your premises. You're not sure that he just tries to shake you up. This is not, and it doesn't have to be if I believe in Hashem, because maybe he knows to withdraw from that. If he decides on an army doesn't make a frontal attack where the guy has all the ammunition. Well, no such thing as Hashem. What are you talking about? But he might say maybe it's not so important to make a bracha on challah. So I'm not sure if I should make a bracha or not. Instead of picking up a phone and asking, I will make a bracha. And that's called a foot in the door. Okay, we'll stop here. I recommend highly for the upteenth time, I'm sure I did,